Amen. Thank you, April, for that special this evening. All right, if you have your Bibles this evening, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Now, normally, I am the type of preacher that likes to have lots of notes. I have absolutely no notes here tonight. I want to just preach from my heart. And so this is what God has been teaching me through this crisis of COVID-19. And I hope that it will be a help to you, a blessing to you. And I guess my only prayer is that no matter what perspective that you have concerning this crisis or the situation we find, not only in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, but we're talking about the entire world is facing it. I hope that you'll have an open heart. And I'm not your teacher, the Holy Spirit is, and I hope he uses his word to give you a different perspective. This is how I see the COVID-19. You know, I'll be real frank with you. We all have sins that are besetting, and one of my besetting sins is I struggle with worry, and I battle that. I just maybe my personality. I'm always thinking. My mind is always at work, and so I really struggle with that, overthinking things and such. But I got to be—I'll be real honest with you. This whole COVID-19 thing, I haven't worried one bit, and I think it's the grace of God for sure. God is good, and God has given me comfort, and even the decision I made to pause services, I didn't lose any sleep over it. I truly believed it's what the Lord would have us to do. And I'm going to show you from the Bible here, the Apostle Paul's focus in crisis. And I hope that you can have this perspective, and I hope I can grow in this perspective as we see the situation before us. Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to look at this chapter here for the first 21 verses. Now, the Bible says in verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons or the leadership of the church, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's two important truths there about the Christian life. The grace that God gives to us, and also the peace that he gives to us in difficult times. And I'm glad that this is not something that just the Apostle Paul experienced. I'm glad that this is not something that just the Apostle Paul had in his life. But this grace and peace is something all of us can have in the Lord. And he wants to give us the help and the grace that we need, and the peace that is beyond human comprehension, beyond human reasoning. You cannot write a book about the peace of God because no human mind can understand it, how God, who is the God of all peace, can give that peace in your life and in your heart. It's a wonderful thing. And here the Apostle Paul writes, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Now, there's no doubt about it that the Apostle Paul had a special connection with the church at Philippi. When the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journeys, no church communicated with the Apostle Paul in giving and receiving, except the church at Philippi. They were faithful in their offerings to help the Apostle Paul in his missionary endeavors. Now, it's also important for us to understand that the church at Philippi was a very poor church. In fact, they were so poor that the poor people called them poor. They were in deep poverty, the Bible says. And yet they sacrificially gave to the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is not a missionary message, but it's important that we are a part of the greatest message that ever touched the ears of humanity, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here the Apostle Paul, his heart is filled because he's remembering the church at Philippi. He's remembering Lydia, a seller of purple. When the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica to preach the gospel, the Lord forbade him to go. and he saw the heard the Macedonian cry, and he went to Macedonia, to Philippi, and the very first person that he led to the Lord was this lady who was from Thessalonica. So God has a wonderful plan, and you cannot forget that God is in control and that God is on his throne. And he's remembering these dear saints, these dear believers. And his heart is filled with joy. His heart is filled with peace and the grace of God. He's thinking of the Philippian jailer and how, you know, the Apostle Paul denied his right to freedom. Think about this. He denied his right to freedom. The door swung open and he was a free man and no one was to stop him. And yet the Apostle Paul stayed in prison so that he could give the gospel to this jailer. And because of that gospel message, he trusted Jesus as a Savior. He took that message home and the messenger home, the Apostle Paul, and his family got saved. And so that's just a wonderful thing. And the Apostle Paul is remembering these dear saints. He's remembering, and his heart is filled with joy as he's remembering each of them. He says here in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I mean, let's just think about the faithfulness of this church. Let's just think about the fact that this church was a church that was faithful in the work of God. From the very first day when the Apostle Paul left Thessalonica to go into Thessalonica, and when he left Philippi to go to Thessalonica, he felt great contention as he went into that city to preach the gospel. And yet the church at Philippi was there financially helping him along the way. They were faithful in the work of God. Could I just remind you to be faithful in your giving? I understand this is not normal. And I just believe, and this is my prayer, and this is what I believe, that I guess my hope is that this will be over soon. But be faithful to the Lord. You're still a Christian. And you still need to be a testimony. You still need to preach the gospel when you have opportunities and be a blessing to people. And you still need to be faithful in your tithes and offering. And they were faithful to the gospel from the very first day until now. Verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad. I love that expression too. The Bible says, and being confident. I'm glad that we can be confident in some things. Listen, there's a lot of things, I'll be honest with you, I'm not confident in. I'm not confident in the what tomorrow holds. But I'm confident in who holds tomorrow. And we can be confident in those things. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm confident that God who began a work in your life is going to finish that work in your life. That he's going to finish what he started. He says in verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, that God's going to finish his work. That God's going to continue to do what God started in their life. And as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers, or you are a part of the same grace that I'm a part of. That's a wonderful blessing. You know, listen, all of us Christians are a part of the same grace. We are partakers of the grace of God. And that's a wonderful privilege in these uncertain days. Verse 8, the Bible says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, that your love, and that really has to be the prayer of every spiritual leader. It's my prayer for my family, for my life, and for your life, that your love would abound. That's what makes the difference. Your love will abound, and your love will abound in knowledge and in discernment, or in all judgment, that your love will abound, and that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. That's speaking of Christian service, Christian living, that you would live your life as a Christian that is sincere. You would live your life not as an offense or a stumbling block to others, but you would live your life to bring glory to God in everything that you do, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brother. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 12. And I'm not trying to read into the Bible, but I would assume because of verse number 12 that there were questions that were being raised because of the Apostle Paul being in a Roman jail cell. And, you know, it would seem to me that the church didn't understand why these events were taking place. There are lots of things. There are lots of things in my life and in your life that you're just not going to understand. You just have to embrace what you don't understand and cling to the heart of God. You just have to understand God's in control. And even though you don't understand, doesn't make it not right or doesn't make the fact that God is not doing right, just because you don't understand, listen, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, saith the Lord. He's way above the heavens, and He is in control, and we need to trust. We are His children. He is the Father, and it's just a known fact that fathers know best. That children have been given by God in the care of parents because they know what is best for the child. And we need to trust a Heavenly Father who knows what is best. And so he writes here in verse number 12. Now think about this. I just want us to think about the focus and crisis here. Because here is a people that are confused. Here's a people that might have different opinions. They may say, oh, Paul, you should do this. Or, oh, Paul, you should fight against the Roman government. Or, Paul, you should just do what you want. You're a Roman citizen, Paul. They have no right to treat you that way. And Paul could have exercised his rights as a Roman citizen. But that's not his focus in the crisis in his life. He says, look at this. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The focus of the Apostle Paul was not on government. You know, government was given by God, established by God for the protection of people. And, you know, we are to submit to government. I know that that's difficult to do in our society, but it can't be any more difficult than the Apostle Peter, who Caesar was in charge, the Pharaoh, and he was taking Christians to the lions. He was pulling them out of their homes and bringing them to their death. And yet Peter wrote, honor the king. Honor the king. As Christians, we are to respect authority. And the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture that we are to think about the focus of the life of the Apostle Paul. What is it? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. I don't know. Someone asked this question. They said, Pastor Burns, do you believe this is the end? Do you truly believe this is the end? And do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Well, right away in my thought pattern and thinking of the Word of God, the Bible says He's coming as a thief in the night. And so I think too many people are expecting Him to come back right now because of the COVID-19 crisis. The Bible says He's going to come back. That doesn't mean He can't come back. Again, God's ways are not my ways. I'm not making predictions. I'm just trying to give you some Scripture. But I do believe this, that every single crisis that we've had in our world, and COVID-19 is not the only crisis that we've had. I'm talking about 9/11. I'm talking about the swine flu. I'm talking about other diseases and pestilence that came on this earth. Every single major event that we've seen in my lifetime, I'm 39 years old, and I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen some. It's driving us to closer to the end. If not this being the end, it is definitely driving us closer to the end. You've got to remember that we're in the last days, in the tribulation time. There'll be one world government, there'll be a cashless society, there'll be one world religions, and all the events that we're seeing in history, we're seeing, you know, we go forward a little bit, And, you know, after this COVID-19 is all done and it's a distant memory, I mean, listen, folks, the reality is things are not going to be the same. And there's going to be agendas that will be driven in our world so that something like this never happens again. That's what you're going to hear. And all of these events are going to drive us closer, if not this being the end, closer to the end of a cashless society and a one world religion and government. These things are going to come to pass. These will come to pass. And we find in this passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul's focus in these days was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's my plea with you in this COVID-19 situation. Get your eyes off of the media. Get your eyes off of government and their decisions and all those things. And get your eyes on the fact that this could be the last opportunity that we have to preach the gospel. And we may have to get creative, but listen, there are people who are dying and they're on their way to hell. That's the focus. The Apostle Paul said, I exercise my rights. Oh, I'm a Roman citizen, but it doesn't matter. The events of my life have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And that must be our focus. The furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because listen, friend, when I read the Bible, that is the main thing. From the book of Genesis, promise in chapter 3, verse 15, that the Savior would come and that He would give His life. The Savior would come and He would die for the sins of the world. The Old Testament, by faith, they looked to the Savior that He would come and wash their sins away. And then we come into the New Testament. We look back to the cross that the Savior came. And even in the tribulation time, 144,000 Jews will preach the gospel and two witnesses will preach the gospel. And even an angel will herald the gospel of Christ, because I'm here to tell you that the focus of any crisis is what can we do to spread the gospel. That's the focus. And if that's not your focus, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Because here was a man. You say, yeah, but what about Jesus? Oh, don't even go there. I mean, Jesus was put to death as an innocent man. And he held his tongue. And the Bible says he allowed, he was put to the cross. Why? For the sins of the world. For the sins of the world. So that we could have eternal life. The Lord Jesus, He could have called 10,000 angels. But He didn't call 10,000 angels. He saw the focus of His Father. And that was a cross. And that was your redemption and my redemption. God help us to have that as our passion in our life through all of this crisis. I mean, I'm sweating when I'm preaching and there's not even anyone here. But I'm excited about this because I just believe that there's opportunity here, an open door of opportunity that people are going to listen more and people are going to be attentive, because this could be the last moving of God for people to come to Christ before that trumpet sounds and this is all over. And can you imagine if you wasted your time thinking about a government? All of the things that can distract us, and you didn't put your focus on what really matters, and that is the gospel. Look what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. I want you to stop and think about this. This is the passage of Scripture that God used in my heart when I decided to shut down services. And if you think that was an easy thing, then you don't know my heart. Because that was a difficult thing for me to do. And the Apostle Paul said, here's a Roman citizen in jail. And here he's taking it. He's taking it so that the gospel can go forward. And he says that everyone in the palace, they knew of his bonds. And they knew of his testimony. And there's a hysteria around this COVID-19. People are afraid. I don't want people. Listen. I don't want people to drive by our church. We can say, well, bless God. We can have service anyway, and we'll fight against the government. They can't tell us what to do. Well, they are authority. And folks, listen, they're not telling us not to preach the gospel. They're not telling us that we'll never be able to meet again. That day may come, but it's not now. And if we're going to be a help, and if we're going to be a testimony to the Kitchener area for years to come until the Lord comes again, then we're going to have a testimony. We don't want our good to be evil spoken of. We want not to suffer for being a busybody or suffer for being a thief or suffer for being a murderer, the Bible says. But if any man suffer for being a Christian, and I just believe that this pause, though it's inconvenient, the Lord knows it's hard. But I believe if we're going to minister in years to come in this area, then we need to be that testimony. And we need to manifest that testimony to a lost and dying world. I just heard of a pastor in the States who, bless God, said he was going to have a service open. He got the coronavirus and they wrote about him in the paper. His testimony is shot for years to come, folks. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't know, things may change and God may work in my life and change my opinion, but this is where I stand now, because for me, it's about the furtherance of the gospel. I want the gospel of Christ to go forward from this place. And for me, it's not about government regulations. You can't tell them what to do. Listen, they're not telling me not to preach the gospel. And if they told me to preach, if they said to me, listen, Pastor Burns, you can no longer preach about Jesus, you know what I'll tell them? I obey God rather than man. And so the Apostle Paul had a testimony here. The Bible says his bonds in Christ were manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds, so much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They went around preaching the gospel because they thought that the Apostle Paul was going to get the brunt of it all. All of his followers, right? There they are. All of his influence is out there still preaching. And they preached the gospel because they thought that at the end, the Apostle Paul would be the one that would be hurt and the one that would be afflicted. And yet, think about the attitude of this man. He says, yet Christ is preached and I rejoice. Because that's a man who had a focus in a crisis that wasn't about him. And it wasn't about the government. And it wasn't about the situation. It was about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what it's all about. And I just believe that we're going to come out of this stronger than we ever have. And that we're going to move forward with the gospel message. And we're going to be excited to get involved, to preach the gospel of Christ, because I just believe that I understand the last days are from the cross to the rapture, the last days, the last revelation of God, but I believe we're in the last days of the last days. And I think we're seeing in our world today, where 100 years ago people would never, ever, ever believe that you could have a one world government and a one world religion and you could have a cashless society. It would never happen, they would think. It would never come to pass, and yet we can see how it can come to pass. And it's coming to pass right before our very eyes. And the gospel is still number one. Let me just give you a couple of more verses here. So the Apostle Paul said here, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know what I'm glad for? I'm glad for hope. I'm glad for hope. And I'm glad that God is with us through all of it. He says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look at this. Whether by my life or by my death, the Lord Jesus is going to be lifted up. And listen, this is not about an agenda. This is about Christ and him being magnified in the crisis of our life. And if we learn anything about crisis, is that we need to look to the Lord, and we need him to be seen in our life every single day. We want Christ to be magnified and glorified. And the Bible says in verse 21, look at this. This is wonderful. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying my whole life is wrapped up into this one person, the Lord Jesus. My life is Christ. I live it by His power, and I live it for His glory. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. It's about Him and His message. And this is my prayer through the crisis of your life, the crisis of, and I'm not just talking about COVID-19. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to preach another sermon about COVID-19. God just keeps giving them to me. I can't help it. God just keeps giving them to me. And I got to preach what God wants to be preached. And, you know, this is just what God, I'm just sharing my heart here tonight, folks. This is what God has worked in my life about. And you'll notice on the website, there's a track there called The Cure. I believe the Cure, something The Cure. I forget the title. But it's a gospel invitation. And it's about the coronavirus, and I encourage people to share it. It's just another opportunity to spread the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in this day, in this opportunity that we have, I believe it's an open door. The gospel of Jesus Christ must be our focus. It must be our focus. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do to spread the gospel of Christ? I was telling my wife before I went to church, I dressed up in a suit. And, you know, I was leaving and I had a good talk with our neighbor. We were talking about the coronavirus and he was talking about social distancing and all those things. I want to be able to lead that man to the Lord one day. And I told my wife, I said, I got to go over and tell him that when he sees me coming, I'm not trying to, you know, go against what the authorities are saying. I'm just coming to the church to live stream. I want to be a good testimony to him. I want to be able to have that opportunity. Tell him about Jesus and him listen to that message. And that was the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul, why is all this happening to you? You're the greatest missionary outside of the Lord Jesus to ever walk this earth, and you're in a Roman jail cell and you're a Roman? It doesn't make sense, Paul. And he says, I want you to know that the events of my life and the crisis of my life have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. That I am able, Paul said, to give a prisoner, to give a soldier, to give a guard the gospel of Christ. And my testimony is a man who is faithful to God, who loves the Lord, and who preaches the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on our